listened to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. An entertaining hour coming up with classic sitcoms. Later on, it's the Aldrich family, but right now, an episode of Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden as Connie Brooks with Gail Gordon as Principal Conklin, in a CBS broadcast from the early 1950s.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden.
By his own admission, Principal Osgood Conklin's astute leadership has molded Madison High into a streamlined machine which operates with the facile precision of a new car. But to our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison, it's the same old jalopy.
That's true. Mr. Conklin is the same old flat tire, and Mr. Boynton still needs his battery charged. But apropos of astute leadership, last Tuesday, we solemnly and traditionally observed the birthday of Madison's beloved founder and first principal, Yodar Critch. The only Madison High principal ever to be awarded a distinguished service plaque by the Board of Education. Of course, Mr. Conklin has long been bucking for a similar honor, but inasmuch as the board has ignored him for lo these many years, I was not prepared for the news with which my landlady, Mrs. Davis, pelted me at breakfast.
Connie, I was just leaving the market a few minutes ago when I saw Osgood Conklin pulling up in his car. He was grinning from ear to ear.
What happened? Did he run over a teacher?
No, dear. Something wonderful happened to him.
He caught pneumonia?
I'm serious, Connie. Last night he received a telegram from Mr. Stone, the head of the board, informing him that they decided to award him a plaque for distinguished service to Madison High.
You're kidding.
No, it's true. And was he proud? Why, when he showed me the telegram, his chest was all puffed up.
Fine. Now it'll blend neatly with the rest of his anatomy. How come you did your shopping so early this morning, Mrs. Davis?
Well, I wanted to pick up some groceries for my sister Angela. A dreadful thing happened to her at the drugstore yesterday, poor thing. Angela's the absent-minded one in the family, you know.
What happened to her?
What happened to who, dear?
You started to tell me what happened at the drugstore to your sister Angela. She's the absent-minded one in your family.
She certainly is. Well, I'll just get these dishes cleaned up again.
But, Mrs. Davis, something dreadful happened at the drugstore.
When, Connie?
In the spring of 48. Now, what happened to Angela?
Oh, her. She bumped her head on the pinball machine, and the blow caused amnesia.
Amnesia?
Couldn't even remember her own name. Well, when the druggist sent for the police, Angela became so hysterical, she called him some awful names, Connie. But realizing she had amnesia, he forgave her for that, of course.
Well, that's fine, but...
Anyway, when her mind snapped back to normal, she felt terribly embarrassed. You know what a shy, sensitive, sweet old lady Angela is.
Yes, I do. But what caused her mind to snap back to normal?
She bumped her head again getting into the patrol wagon. Second blow on the head often cures amnesia, you know.
I'm sorry I asked.
Oh, that's probably Walter Denton to drive you to school. I'll go put up some breakfast for him, dear.
All right, Mrs. Davis. Come in, Walter.
Greetings, O Queen of Madison's faculty. I bow to the teacher for whom I have naught but the highest regard.
And I bow to the student for whom I have naught but the lowest marks. Sit down, Walter. Mrs. Davis is getting your breakfast.
Ah, splendid. Miss Brooks, I happened to pass Mr. Conklin's house last night. Well, I didn't actually pass it. I dallied there just long enough to let the air out of his tires. Scream.
Walter, how could you?
Well, it's easy. You just press the little valve down and... Call it retribution, Miss Brooks. Yesterday, I accidentally broke a window in Mr. Conklin's office, and it made him so mad he saddled me with a whole week's detention. So I decided to take out its value in trade, sorta. by playing a series of innocent little pranks on the old boy that are guaranteed to make his life utterly miserable.
I'm afraid there's nothing you can do to pull Mr. Conklin out of the happy clouds today, Walter. Last night he received a telegram from Mr. Stone informing him that the board has decided to award him a plaque for distinguished service.
Oh, Mr. Stone didn't send that telegram?
He didn't?
Of course not. I did.
You?
Yeah, I consider that little beauty my prize, Frank, Miss Brooks. I'm building him up to an awful letdown, comprenez-vous? You see, all day he'll be madly awaiting that silly plaque, and when he doesn't get it, kill belly drop.
Well, you've gone much too far, Walter. When Mr. Conklin discovers what you've done, it's my guess that you'll be expelled from school.
Well, so how's he going to find out?
Well, every criminal overlooks one little detail, Walter, and you're no exception. When Mr. Conklin fails to receive the silly plaque, it's only natural he'll investigate. First of all, he'll call the telegraph office and the whole truth will come out.
Holy cow! I've created a Frankenstein. Oh, gosh, if I should be expelled, what'll I say to my pop? Oh, you've got to help me, Miss Brooks. You wouldn't want to see me get the old heave-ho, would you?
No, I wouldn't, Walter. But my sympathies are also with poor Mr. Conklin in this matter. When I think of his fondest dream blowing up in his silly face, well, it's positively cruel.
Hold it a second, Miss Brooks. Hold it. I've got the old bean working. So I created a Frankenstein, okay? So now I've created a little scheme which, with your help, will slay the monster in his lair.
What's the layout, Louis?
Before school this morning, you will drop into Mr. Conklin's office and subtly remind him of the case of the former Madison principal, Mr. Hargrove, who modestly declined a plaque from the board. Now, they deemed his gesture so noble that 1 year later they gave Mr. Hargrove not a little plaque, but a statue of himself, which is now ensconced in our auditorium.
In other words, you want me to convince Mr. Conklin that if he should decline the plaque, he'll set himself in line for a statue.
Exactly.
But, Walter, he'll never get the statue.
Nobody can dream, can't he?
Walter, don't you realize that if I should stoop to such a deception, I'd be a traitor, not only to Mr. Conklin, but to the school as well.
Well, you won't cooperate, huh? Okay. Just thought you were a friend, that's all. It's a desperate scheme, sure, but it's a desperate situation. You have your own problems, I guess? What happens to me doesn't really matter.
Oh, now, please, no tears.
No, I forgive you, Miss Brooks. If you want to let poor Mr. Conklin suffer to the point where my father will beat the daylights out of me, that's perfectly fine. I'll be expelled. Okay, so what? You just can't help me.
Oh, now, please, Walter.
After all, you can't be a traitor.
Who can't? Dry your eyes and call me Benedict.
Miss Brooks, you just dropped off in front of school?
Oh, yeah. She was in a hurry to get to your father's office.
Oh, well, she'll certainly find him in a wonderful mood. Daddy got a telegram last night, Walter, and you'll never guess what it said.
Hey, what'll you bet?
It was from Mr. Stone. The board has decided to give Daddy a plaque for distinguished service.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Walter, look who's pulling up.
Good morning, Denton.
Mr. Stone, are you going in to see Mr. Conklin, sir?
No time for that now. Just stop by to say hello. And how are you, Harriet?
Oh, I'm simply thrilled, Mr. Stone. Last night when Daddy received your telegram...
Harriet!
A telegram? From me, a telegram? Oh, well, perhaps my secretary sent it off without my knowledge after our meeting yesterday afternoon. It wasn't until 5 o'clock that we arrived at the decision.
The decision, Mr. Stone?
Yes. The board has decided to give Mr. Conklin a plaque for distinguished service.
I'm glad you opened my eyes, Miss Brooks. If Mr. Stone thinks he can brush me off with a silly plaque, he's sadly mistaken. A statue. That's what I deserve.
Oh, please, Mr. Conklin, I didn't mean to upset you.
I'm grateful to you, my dear. What a fool I've been. To think that I'd been sitting here in sheer ecstasy, mentally savoring that putrid plaque. I shall decline the plaque, of course, modestly and in a letter, as you have suggested. I'll get my personal stationery from my inner office, Miss Brooks. Excuse me one moment.
Take your time, Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks, I've got to talk to you.
What is it, Walter?
Ooh, Cal belly drop again. Everything I said in that phony telegram turned out to be true.
What?
I just saw Mr. Stone, and he told me the board has decided to give Mr. Conklin a plaque.
But I've already talked Mr. Conklin into declining it.
Oh, then you've got to reverse course and talk him into accepting it. I'll wait out in the hall for you, Miss Brooks. Good luck.
Good luck. Oh, great.
Did I hear someone in here, Miss Brooks?
You couldn't have. You're smiling. No, sir. If you heard the door slamming, it was just the wind. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Hold on. You know, I was just thinking. I've given my all to this school. 5 years of faithful service. Mr. Hargrove served less than half that time, and for that, he got a statue.
Yes, and what an ugly monstrosity it is. It's no wonder the students parked their messy chewing gum all over him. I think you might be happier with a plaque after all, Mr. Conklin.
Nonsense. I shall write the letter of declination as per your original suggestion, Miss Brooks. In it, I shall request a reply. You will wait for it.
For a reply?
Signed and sealed by Mr. Stone himself.
But, sir, why complicate
matters? I have spoken. Run along, Miss Brooks.
Yes, sir. Bye, Mr. Conklin. Well, Walter, it seems congratulations are in order.
Congratulations? What do you mean, Miss Brooks?
Remember that Frankenstein you created? He just had a baby. Well, there I was, Connie Brooks, bride of Frankenstein. Star of Walter Denton's Pulitzer Prize-winning scheme entitled, I Gave You the Bag, Miss Brooks, Now Hold It. As I was about to leave my classroom at noon and head for Mr. Conklin's office, something entitled, That's What I Want for Christmas, came in.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Are you busy?
No. What's your best offer? Skip it, Mr. Boynton. If you'll excuse me, I've got to run over to Mr. Conklin's office. Walter Denton is in trouble up to my neck.
Yes, I know. Walter confessed the entire story to me, hoping that I could come up with a solution. But I'm afraid that's not up to me, Miss Brooks. You're carrying the ball.
It's not a ball. It's a bomb. Let's bounce it over to Mr. Conklin's office together, shall we?
I'll be happy to tag along, if you don't mind. Say, I met Mrs. Davis as she was heading for the school cafeteria. I promised to join her for lunch, in fact.
Mrs. Davis is in the cafeteria?
Well, yes. She said she just didn't feel like dining at home alone. When Mr. Conklin lets you go, Miss Brooks, do you think you might join us?
I don't know. I may join the Foreign Legion instead. I saw Mr. Conklin briefly at 11 o'clock, and he was practically throwing a fit because Mr. Hargrove received a statue from the board. Ingrates, he called them, particularly Mr. Stone. Really, I've never seen him so furious.
Well, that was at 11 o'clock, Miss Brooks. Maybe he's calmed down a little by now.
Well, here's his office. I'll soon find out.
Come in if you dare.
Yes, he has calmed down a little. Bye, Mr. Boynton.
Aha!
Before you heed that inkwell, please observe that I have entered under a flag of truce.
Let's dispense with the levity, shall we? Miss Brooks, instead of writing to Mr. Stone, I have decided to have a little chat with him. It's clear to me now that in view of my outstanding record, the board would have given me a statue long ago if Mr. Stone had not been working insidiously against me.
Oh, you mustn't jump to conclusions, Mr. Conklin. After all, Mr. Stone is your superior, sir, and if you should flare up in his presence...
Well, I see your point. Yes, yes, you're perfectly right. Self-control, that's the ticket. Osgood Conklin speaking.
Hello, Osgood. This is Mr. Stone.
Mr. Stone, eh?
I've instructed a gentleman in our office to deliver your plaque just as...
Oh, pipe down, you ingrate!
Please, Mr. Conklin.
What's that? Osgood, I said this is Mr. Stone.
Mr. Stone.
I have to call you Mr. Stone. I bet you let Mr. Hargrove call you Charlie. Rank discrimination. That's what it is. I've had just about enough of you. Goodbye, you fathead!
Well, I guess I told him off, Miss Brooks.
There's absolutely nothing he can do about it except fire me. If he thinks I'm going to grovel... Fire me! wife and child. Look what you made me do.
Who, me?
Yes, you. I was perfectly content with my little plaque until you came in and steamed me up. Now Mr. Stone will have my job. My little family will starve. Holy Toledo, look out the window. That man coming up the walk with the briefcase. The man Mr. Stone sent over with my plaque. Who wants a plaque or a statue? All I want is my job. You got me into this, Mr. Stone. No, you get me out of it. I call Mr. Stone a fathead.
Well, it's possible he'll forgive you for that, sir. You know, Mrs. Davis's sister, Angela, she called the druggist some terrible names, and he forgave her. Come to think of it, though, she had amnesia at the time.
Amnesia? That's it. I didn't know what I was saying. I wasn't in my right mind.
Oh, now, please, Mr. Conklin.
It's the only way out.
Hello, my name is Turner. Mr. Conklin, I presume?
Mr. Conklin, who's Mr. Conklin?
Well, I
Run
thought...
Run along, boy. I've got amnesia.
Amnesia?
Tell him, lady.
Yes, sir. Mr. Turner, I'm Miss Brooks.
Brooks. Who's Brooks?
I've been taking care of Mr. Conklin here, sir. The amnesia came on suddenly. An accident.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry? Who's sorry?
Excuse me, folks. Will you have lunch with me, Daddy?
Daddy? Who's Daddy?
Daddy!
Don't call me Daddy. I never saw you before in my life.
But Daddy!
Daddy? Who's Daddy?
Don't look at me. I'm not Daddy.
Miss Brooks?
Brooks? Who's Miss Brooks? Oh, I am, of course. Harriet, your daddy has received a blow on the head.
Yes, he has amnesia, child.
Amnesia?
Amnesia? Who's amnesia?
Look, if you'll allow me to use the phone, Miss Brooks, I'll inform the authorities.
They've already been informed. They're picking Daddy up in an hour.
Oh, no.
Harriet, later on, I will explain how everything happened. Now, you go have lunch and don't worry.
All right, Miss Brooks. Goodbye, Daddy. Oh, poor Daddy.
You can just leave the plaque here, Mr. Turner. You needn't take it back to the board.
I don't know anything about any board. I just came in here to sell a few brushes.
Brushes? Get out, you nincompoop!
Boy, this guy is wacky, all right. You bet I'll get out.
Bill, sorry, Mr. Conklin. I think I'll toddle off to lunch now.
Not so fast. To be perfectly candid with you, Miss Brooks, I wasn't too fond of the amnesia bit. Didn't sound convincing to me.
Nor to me.
Then I'd advise you to get the old brain working on a totally different scheme to clear Mr. Stone. Something clever.
But, sir...
Think. Dream up some nice, dirty, juicy plot. Remember, I hold you responsible for my present plight. So if I'm booted out of this school, I'll take you with me.
That's the dirtiest, juiciest plot I ever heard.
He didn't even recognize me. Me, his own daughter.
My goodness.
You poor kid.
Don't cry, Harriet.
It was a blow on the head. Miss Brooks said the authorities are going to pick him up in an hour. They're going to put Daddy away. Oh, it'll not only ruin his life, but mine and Mother's as well.
Gosh, if there were anything we could possibly do to restore his memory, you could certainly depend on us, Harriet. But we're powerless.
Wait, I have it. Why not give Mr. Conklin another blow on the head? Cured my sister Angela's amnesia.
Say, I've read about that in medical books, Harriet. If a person is stricken with amnesia due to a blow on the head, a second blow does sometimes restore his memory.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait an hour. It's instantaneous. As soon as he gets whacked.
Particularly effective if the blow is delivered by surprise.
Oh, but I wouldn't want anyone to hit Daddy.
It's a blow that may mean the happiness of your entire family, child. Now, you must be brave. Would you like to give it to him with my umbrella, Mr. Boynton? It has a mahogany handle.
You'd better leave me out of it, Mrs. Davis. I'm too strong for the job. Let Walter do it.
No, not me. It's impolite for a student to belt one's own principal.
It doesn't have to be impolite, Walter. When Mr. Conklin opens the door, just say, "Forgive me, sir," and then belt him.
Please, Harriet, if there's one thing that breaks me up, it's the crying of a female.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It just tears the heart out of me.
Well, you haven't the courage to help poor Daddy, neither one of you.
Yeah. Well, if you folks will excuse me, I want to go upstairs and kind of think a little.
Guess I'll take a stroll over to the gym and maybe think a little. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long.
Oh, men. You just can't depend on them. Well, you just dry your tears, Harriet. I'll think of something. Now, let me think.
Think, Miss Brooks.
I'm trying to, sir. How's this? You go home, and I'll wait here in your office. Now, when Mr. Stone arrives, I'll tell him you haven't been in all day and that the person who called him those nasty names on the phone must have been a prankster imitating your voice.
What an idea. I wasn't even here. An imposter impersonating me. Splendid, splendid. I'll get out of here. Look, the window. Mr. Stone's coming up the walk. Holy cow! If I tried to make a run for it now, he'd see me in the hall. I can't go out the door. Can't go out the window. What'll I do?
Well, it's a little early for the chimney, Santa. You're trapped.
My family's at stake. He mustn't see me here. Wait. I've got it. A daring scheme.
Oh, no more schemes, please.
He won't see me. He can't see me. Not if I render him unconscious with a quick, painless whack on the noggin.
What? Slug the head of the board?
The moment he opens that door.
Oh, you've lost all sense of reason, Mr. Conklin. When one's hysteria carries him to the point...
Stand back and be quiet. Shh, shh. One quick blow and it's all over. Osgood, what's the meaning of...
You knocked him out. Cold. Oh, I've got to revive him. Wake up, sir. Wake up. Mr. Conklin, wake up. Stand back, Mr. Stone. Maybe if I slap his face a bit, Mr. Conklin... Mr. Conklin.
Why, that maniac was throwing an uppercut at me. I had to defend myself.
Yeah.
Oh, he seems to be regaining consciousness.
Oh, what happened?
One quick blow and it was all over.
On your feet. You've got some tall explaining to do, Osgood.
Osgood? Who's Osgood?
Oh, Mr. Stone, Mr. Stone. I was hoping you'd drop in, sir. How I missed you.
He didn't miss you, Daddy.
I seem to be missing a tooth.
Osgood, why did you take a swing at me as I entered this office?
Me, sir? You're mistaken, Mr. Stone. May I be struck by lightning if I... The door, I'll get it.
Forgive me, sir.
Knocked him out. Wake up, Mr. Conklin, wake up. Please, sir.
Denton! Are you in the habit of knocking out your principal?
No, sir. This is my lucky day.
What happened?
You were struck by 16-year-old lightning.
I seem to be missing him.
Another blow, another tooth. That's life, Mr. Conklin.
What in the world is going on here?
Open the door. I'll get it.
It has a mahogany handle.
Oh, wake up, Mr. Conklin. Wake up, sir.
Oh, what happened?
You've now lost four teeth, sir. Would you like to try for eight?
I demand an explanation. Osgood.
I can't talk now. I'm a sick man. I'm very weak. By all, I'm going home. Forgive me, sir.
You knocked him out. Oh, wake up. Wake up, Mr. Boynton. Wake up.
At least I got in one good lick. Oh. Miss Brooks, what's happened?
Don't look now, Mr. Boynton, but all you want for Christmas is your two front teeth.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, transcribed, is produced and directed by Larry Byrne, written by Joe Quillen, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Conklin was played by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Bob Rockwell, Gloria McMillan, and Mary Jane Cross. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to be with us again next Sunday at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Our Miss Brooks on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the early 1950s. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of the more popular sitcoms of radio's golden era, it's The Aldrich Family. At the point of this next episode, it was part of NBC's Thursday night lineup at 8. Well over 11 million people tuned into this episode called The Grab Bag Sale from November 18, 1948.
It's The Aldrich Family.
I beg your pardon.
We said it's The Aldrich Family.
Yes, it's The Aldrich Family, presented by the Jell-O Family.
J-E-L-L-O. Meredith Wilson.
Well, it's my talking people all ready to enjoy the Aldrich Family.
Hey,
what's the matter here?
Gotta do the dinner dishes.
Well, you can still listen to Henry and Homer and do the dinner dishes, too.
Hey, good idea, Bub.
You bet it's a good idea, Bub. Did you have a good dinner?
You bet. Yoo-hoo!
Sounds like you had smooth as cream Jell-O puddings, maybe.
No.
Well, then maybe the pudding with the personality and the dimples?
Jell-O tapioca puddings?
Right. Did you have Jell-O tapioca puddings?
No.
Well, then what did you have for dessert?
The world's most famous shimmering dessert.
That's Jell-O in those six delicious flavors. Starting with strawberry,
raspberry,
cherry,
orange, lemon.
The Aldrich Family, based on characters originated by Clifford Goldsmith and starring Ezra Stone as Henry with Jackie Kelk as Homer.
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
Life's greatest gift is youth. And fortunately, it isn't confined to any one age. Youth can be recaptured at any time by anyone who simply shares the experiences of an enthusiastic teenage boy like Henry Aldrich. The scene opens in Henry's bedroom. It is Saturday morning.
Now listen, Henry, that's no way to hold it.
It is so, you have to tip it.
Then how can you get the knife in?
Homer, let go. Gee whiz, whose piggy bank is this anyway?
Okay, go ahead if you're so smart. Why should I help you scrape up money to throw down the drain?
What do you mean, down the drain? If I can get enough money out of this bank, I'm going to ask Kathleen to go to a movie tonight.
Henry, you're crazy. You take Kathleen to a movie and what have you got? A lot of memories and a good night kiss, if you're lucky.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you can do that any old time. But boy, it isn't every day in the week that Springer's Hardware has a grab bag sale.
That's just it, Homer. You buy a grab bag and where are you? But take Kathleen to the movies and at least you know what you're getting.
Sure. So why not buy a grab bag and get pleasantly surprised?
Boy, another dime.
How much have you got out of your bank now?
50 cents so far.
50 cents?
And there's one more coin in here.
Boy, if I had 50 cents, I'd get my best friend and pool our money and invest it in a grab bag.
Now, wait a minute, Homer. How much money have you actually got?
A dime.
Okay, so stop wasting your breath on grab bags. My mind is made up.
But, Henry, did I tell you those grab bags have values up to $10 in them?
Hey, Hey, look, a quarter.
Yeah?
That gives me exactly enough to cover Kathleen. Two balcony seats, two sodas, and a nickel's worth of candy.
Boy, what you couldn't get at Springer's for 75 cents.
75 cents? You mean they have grab bags as low as that?
Sure. None of them are over a dollar.
Homer, you're crazy. Are you telling me they have $10 values all for under a dollar?
Sure. It's the chance of a lifetime, Henry. You can't lose.
But how can you be sure what you're getting?
That's the beautiful part. You can't. That's where the fun comes in.
Gee, it does sound interesting.
And you know what you might win, Henry? That bicycle pump you've been wanting.
Oh, boy, do you really think so?
Oh, Henry.
Yes, Father?
Step out here in the hall a moment.
Sure, Father. Homer, wait here.
Okay, but don't be long.
I was just passing your room, Henry, and I couldn't help overhearing.
You mean about the grab bag sale, Father? Doesn't that sound swell?
Frankly, son, it sounds a little risky to me.
Risky, Father? Gee whiz, it's the chance of a lifetime.
Yes?
When you invest in one of those grab bags, you can't lose.
Even though you have no idea what it might be inside?
But that's the beautiful part, Father. There might be anything inside.
There might also be nothing.
But Homer said their value's up to $10.
Henry, I want you to make your own decision in this matter. But remember one thing. Merchants can very seldom afford to give away anything valuable.
But, Father, do you know what I might get for 75 cents? A bicycle pump.
Henry, you're being very optimistic.
I have it on good authority.
Now, son, I know all about grab bags. I've had my fingers burned. You haven't.
But, Father, these bags are entirely different.
Henry, let me explain one more thing. From time to time...
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Kathleen. Listen, I'm phoning from Springer's Hardware, see?
Oh, hello, Mr. Springer.
Who?
What?
Kathleen, this is Henry.
Oh.
I'm down here at Springer's with Homer and his dime.
You are?
Sure. And look, how would you like to go to the movies tonight?
The movies? I'd love to, Henry.
And sit in the balcony?
Uh-huh.
Way in the back?
Uh-huh. What's playing?
Playing? Kathleen, don't you like me anymore?
Of course I do.
I know, but... Well, gee, you never used to ask what was playing.
Well, Henry, it's a perfectly minor point.
Okay, then it's all settled. I'll come by for you right after supper.
Thanks, Henry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, Henry, look at this bag here.
Which one?
This one with all the bulges in it. Doesn't it drive you crazy wondering what's in it?
Not me, Homer. I'm just down here to keep you company.
Gee, Hen, aren't you the least bit interested in buying anything?
Not if I have to risk every cent I have in the world. Now, you take this long, skinny bag here.
Yeah?
It's 30 cents, isn't it?
Sure. Go ahead, Hen. Why don't you buy it?
Why should I spend 30 cents for just a plain, ordinary yardstick?
A yardstick? Is that all that bag is?
Sure. And gee whiz, if I hadn't listened to my father, I might have been carried away.
Hiya, fellas.
Here comes Willie.
Hi, fellas. What you doing?
Just looking around, Willie.
Yeah? Hey, Henry, are you going to buy that long, thin grab bag?
He might be, Willie.
I am not, Homer.
Well, can I have it then?
Sure, here.
Thanks. Oh, Mr. Springer, here's my 30 cents.
Wait, Willie, don't you know what's in that bag?
Don't tell him, Homer. Don't tell him. You know how stubborn Willie is.
Yeah, but...
Let him get burnt by himself. It'll be a good lesson for him.
Hey, you want to watch me open my bag?
Sure, Willie.
Well, now stand back, fellas.
Boy, I bet you'll get a surprise, Willie.
Gee, I hope so. Hey!
What is it, Willie? Let's see.
Oh, boy!
Oh, boy!
A collapsible fishing rod, just what I've always wanted.
Gee, those things cost about $7. Just think, Henry, you could have had it.
Yeah, but I could have sworn it. Let's see that fishing rod, Willie. Boy, this is slick.
Well, I'll say.
Gee, are you lucky?
I sure am. Well, so long, fellas.
Where are you going, Willie?
Fishing?
Boy.
Henry, maybe your father still has a few things to learn.
Yeah. I guess he didn't live during a period of inflation.
I'll say.
You know, Homer, I've been thinking.
Yeah?
Kathleen might enjoy a movie tonight, sure. Only she'd be even crazier about something I might win in a grab bag for her, wouldn't she?
Now you're talking sense, Hen.
Sure, Homer. Come on. Help me pick out a grab bag.
How about this one?
Boy, wait till my father hears that merchants really do give valuable things away.
Hey, Henry.
Hi, Charlie.
Don't bother us, Charlie. We're busy looking for a grab bag to buy.
Yeah, what?
Well, how should we know, Charlie? We haven't bought it yet.
Look, there's Toby Smith. I'm going to see what he got in his grab bag.
Listen, Henry, how would you like to buy this nifty box of clothespins?
Clothespins? What could I possibly do with clothespins?
Well, you could use them to hang girls' pictures up on your wall.
What?
Or they'd be swell for starting fires.
Charlie, you're crazy.
Oh, now look, Henry, I paid 25 cents for them, and I'll let you have them for 20.
Oh, no.
15.
Nothing doing.
10.
Well, what'd you pay a quarter for a thing like that for?
I got it in a grab bag, and boy, am I going to sue Mr. Springer.
Well, look, Charlie, naturally, merchants can't give away valuable things in every grab bag.
Hey, Henry, guess who just bought what for 60 cents?
Who?
A paint sprayer.
What?
Toby Smith for only 60 cents.
Homer, what could you do with a thing like that except spray paint?
Plenty. I happen to know my father would pay $5 for a new paint sprayer.
$5?
$5?
Sure.
Cold cash?
Cold cash?
On the line, Henry. He's going to need one to paint our house.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Let's start looking, Homer. There might be another sprayer in these grab bags here.
There might. Gee whiz, goodbye.
Where are you going, Charlie?
Home and get some more money.
One thing about a paint sprayer, Homer, you can tell it by the feel of it.
Okay, I'll start feeling from this side.
Sure, and I'll start over here.
And we'll feel toward each other.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Mr. Springer?
Sorry, but we can't allow any feeling around.
Sure, Mr. Springer.
Boy, Homer, that's what I call loyalty.
How do you mean?
Gee, Mr. Springer is practically a member of our own family, isn't he?
He is.
Sure, he's engaged to my Aunt Harriet.
Well, frankly, I don't blame him for being cranky.
Homer, are you positive you didn't feel anything remotely like a paint sprayer?
Positive. You couldn't mistake a thing like that.
Boy, what I couldn't do with $5.
It makes me weak to think about it.
Let's sit down.
Hey, Henry.
Yeah?
I found one.
A paint sprayer?
Yeah, I'm sitting on it.
Homer, are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
Gee whiz, Homer, I left my 75 cents at home.
Well, that's a fine thing.
Look, Homer, you stay right here and guard this paint sprayer while I run home for my money.
But what if somebody else wants to buy it?
Just don't let them. And, Homer, if you can keep it for me, I'll give you a dollar when I sell it.
Okay, Henry, run.
Nice of you to drop in, Harriet. Sit down. I'll pour you some coffee.
Thank you, Alice. How's Sam?
He's just fine. How's Mr. Springer?
Alvin? Just fine. Aren't men a problem?
Oh? Have you and Alvin had a quarrel, Harriet?
Oh, no. Just a little disagreement. Alvin thinks I should take up painting again.
Really?
Yes. He believes in women having outside interests. But as I said to him, I said, Alvin, I said, frankly, I don't think I'm very talented. Do you?
Well, to tell you the absolute truth, Harriet...
And he said, yes, Harriet, I do.
Oh. Oh, he did.
Of course, he admits he doesn't know a thing about art, but he knows what he likes.
Isn't that nice?
Poor Alvin. He just can't help seeing me through rose-colored glasses, I guess.
Mother!
Oh, my goodness, that's Henry.
Mother, quick, where's my 75 cents? Hello, Aunt Harriet.
Hello.
Henry, you told me to keep it for you and not to give it to you under any circumstances until tonight.
But, Mother, don't you understand? I've cornered a valuable grab bag and I'm going to make a killing.
You've forgotten what your father said?
No, only he doesn't understand. This sale is different.
I know,
Alice,
but...
Henry is right. I happen to know personally there are some very valuable grab bags down there.
Very well, I'll go upstairs and get your money.
You will? Gee, that just give me time to make a phone call.
Number, please.
Elm 110.
Elm 110.
Yes, operator.
Harriet, I do wish you'd let me handle it.
Mother, can you please hurry with my money? Homer's sitting on something.
Hello?
Hello, Kathleen. Let me ask you something quick.
What is it?
Suppose you were going out dancing to the country club.
My goodness, when?
Well, suppose it's tonight, see? What color dress would you be wearing?
What color?
Sure, so I could send you flowers, if.
Flowers?
Provided I get $5 for a certain something I'm going to win and it doesn't cost too much for a taxi.
My goodness, Henry, you mean we're going in a taxi?
We might. So what color, Kathleen?
Why, just any color. Although I do like those big black shiny ones.
Black flowers?
Aren't we talking about taxis?
No, gee whiz.
Oh, my goodness, well, any orchid color flower will do. And I have to hurry and get my hair done.
But Kathleen...
Come on now, Henry, I'll see you tonight.
Sure, only understand it isn't definite, don't you, Kathleen?
Kathleen!
Now, wait a minute, Charlie. What are you doing?
Well, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm trying to pick out a paint sprayer.
But you're not allowed to feel the grab bags. You just have to take your chance.
Now, listen, Homer. Since when do you own this hardware store?
Charlie, get away from this grab bag.
But it might be a paint sprayer.
And it might not. And besides, it's reserved.
Then it is a paint sprayer.
Now, listen, Charlie.
Now, Homer, let go of me.
Now, look, Charlie, don't get mad. I didn't mean to push you. Let's just talk this over calmly.
Oh, yeah? Listen, you little pipsqueak.
Charlie, you're backing right into the garden hole.
Oh, Springer, I'll take this grab bag here.
Hey!
How much?
Hey, that's Henry's grab bag. Oh, lady.
Homer, you've got the hose looped over your arm.
Lady, come back.
Homer, look out!
Hey!
Excuse me, mister. Have you seen anything of my friend Homer Brown?
You're no friend of mine, Henry Aldrich.
Homer, is that you?
Sure. Just look at
it. I am. Gee whiz, what happened to your face?
Never mind my face. That'll wash off. But how can I get all this paint and grease off my clothes?
What have you been doing?
Boy, everything. Hoisting paint drums, mixing putty, filling turpentine bottles.
But why?
Just because I had a little accident trying to save your darn grab bag.
You mean it's gone? But I was counting on that $5. Kathleen thinks I'm taking her out dancing tonight.
Listen, Henry, how much do you think you could sell an outboard motor for?
An outboard motor? Homer, you're crazy.
Who's crazy? You know the one Mr. Springer's had in his window for 2 years?
Sure, but...
Well, just half an hour ago, I saw him lug it into that room over there.
Yeah?
And then he came back in here with that box, and he said, whoever buys it this afternoon is going to get the surprise of their life.
Homer, do you mean it? And it's only 75 cents?
Sure. It's what they call a sleeper.
Oh, boy. Gee, I could sell that for 10 times as much as the paint sprayer.
Sure. So you'll owe me $10.
Homer, on second thought, I probably can't get more than 5 times as much.
Now listen,
look,
Henry.
Why don't I go out now and round up a prospective buyer?
Oh, Homer.
Mr. Springer, what time are those grab bags going on sale?
2 o'clock sharp, Henry.
You're sure you won't sell any of them before that?
Nope.
Gee, that's swell. Goodbye, Homer. I'll be back.
Homer, I've been keeping an eye on you this morning. You've certainly done a good job back here.
I have.
Yes, sir. And to show my appreciation, I'm going to let you have any grab bag you'd like for that dime of yours.
For a dime? You mean I can have any bag at all?
Yes, sir.
You mean I could even have the outboard motor?
What outboard motor?
Oh, gee, I shouldn't have mentioned it. I mean this big grab bag right here.
Homer, that isn't an outboard motor.
It isn't. Oh, boy, is Henry gonna get a surprise?
Hello?
Hello, Kathleen.
Henry, is it only you?
What do you mean, only me?
Oh, my goodness, you dragged me out from under the dryer.
I did?
And I'm standing right here, positively dripping.
Look, Kathleen, I just wanted to tell you that the thing I'm selling now is much more valuable than the thing I was selling before.
It is, Henry?
Yeah.
What is?
I can't tell you. I'm down at the Acme Machine Works right now.
Henry, we are going to the country club tonight, aren't we?
Sure, absolutely. And not only that...
Yes?
Kathleen, how would you feel about a season ticket?
A season ticket?
Sure, and go every Saturday night in the year.
Mr. Springer, the grand prize.
You're certainly the lucky one today, Homer.
It's the only thing I ever won in my whole life. Do you mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead.
Thanks.
Number, please.
Elm 610.
Elm 610.
Gee, Mr. Springer, to think Henry's Aunt Harriet painted that all by herself.
Yes, sir, and she's never had a lesson in her life, would you believe it?
Well, to tell you the truth...
Neither would I. All it needs now is a nice frame.
Hello.
Hello, Mother. Guess who this is?
Homer, don't be silly.
Listen, Mother, a wonderful thing just happened. I just bought a grab bag.
I thought you didn't have enough money to buy one.
Well, I didn't, but Mr. Springer just had me move a few paint drums and gave it to me for practically nothing.
Really?
And, Mother, I won the grand prize.
You what?
Sure, and it's something you've always wanted, and I'd be willing to let it go cheap.
Homer, it isn't...
It isn't. Sure. It's a sort of a painting.
Oh, my heavens. For the inside or the outside of the house?
Why?
Homer, you're a dear. And now would you hang up? I'm too excited.
Okay. And don't worry, Mother. Mr. Springer's going to clean me up.
That's nice, dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Springer.
Yes, Homer.
Have you tried looking at this painting upside down?
I just had to dash right over.
Elizabeth, tell me again.
Homer won the grand prize. We're having our house painted absolutely free.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, isn't it marvelous? Mr. Springer's already given Homer the drums of paint.
Elizabeth, I had no idea there was anything worthwhile in those grab bags.
Oh, Alice, I still can't believe it. You know, Will and I had to choose this year between having the house painted or getting me a new fur coat, and we decided on the house.
Really?
Yes, we agreed the house takes more of a beating in the winter than I do.
Elizabeth, does that mean that now?
Oh, why not, Alice? Why not? Oh, get your hat on. Let's go look at fur coats.
Right away? Shouldn't you wait until Will?
Well, Alice, I'm only going to look.
Hello? Are you listening, Kathleen? Well, I found a fella who had a boat, see, but no motor.
Yes? And you sold him your motor?
Not exactly.
No?
He sold me his boat.
My goodness!
Well, that is, I gave him my IOU, and by next summer, the boat will be mine, I hope.
Henry, that's wonderful. My goodness, I'll be the proudest girl at the dance.
The dance?
Just imagine I'll be the only one there dancing with a boy with an outboard motor.
Well, Kathleen, look, about the dance.
Yes?
How would you feel if we were to give up all activities this winter?
What?
And spend two solid months sailing around in the moonlight next summer?
But, Henry, what will we do during the long winter evenings?
Why, we can polish the boat.
Polish it?
Yeah, and grease the motor.
But, Henry, I've just had my hair done.
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, gee, look at the time. It's 1:30.
It is?
I've got to get back to Springer's and buy my grab bag.
But, Henry...
And I'll bring the outboard motor right over to your house, Kathleen, so we can admire it together.
Sam?
I'm reading my paper, Alice.
Dear, dinner's ready.
Yes? Where's Henry?
Up in his room. He doesn't feel like eating.
I should think he wouldn't. Well, he can't say I didn't warn him. I told him not to count on an outboard motor.
Dear, I can't help feeling sorry for him. What on earth is he going to do with a bear trap?
Naturally, Alice, he's going to trap bears.
Sam, there isn't a bear within 500 miles of here.
Alice, I'm joking.
I wouldn't feel so badly, Sam, if I thought he'd really learned a lesson from this whole thing.
Well, he's learned one thing. At least he won't be so optimistic after this.
Will you answer the phone, dear, while I serve dinner?
All right, Alice. Hello?
May I speak to Mr. Aldrich, please?
Which Mr. Aldrich do you want?
Henry Aldrich.
Just a moment. Henry?
Yes, Father?
You want it on the telephone.
Perhaps you could take the message. This is Mr. Jenkins, the tanner.
The what?
The tanner. I have that information regarding the cost of turning a bear skin into a rug.
What's that?
It all depends on the size bear you trap.
I am not trapping any bears, and neither is anyone else in this family. Goodbye.
Father, didn't you say that phone call was for me?
That was the tanner, Henry. I took care of him.
You did, Father? But I had my plans all made.
You can just unmake them. Now, come on in to dinner.
If you don't mind, Father, I'd rather go back upstairs.
Sam, dinner's on the table.
I'm coming, Alice.
You know, dear, I've been thinking. Couldn't you give Henry just enough money to take Kathleen to the movies tonight?
No, Alice. That's the only way a youngster ever learns.
Oh, I know,
that's
but...
That's the way you had to learn. That's the way I had to. Good heavens, what's that?
What's what, dear?
That, on the center of the table.
Why, they're candles, dear. You see, shaped like little stars, and they float in the water.
Why?
What?
I said, why?
Well, they're pretty, and Sam, I won them today, and I thought I'd better use them.
I see. Alice, you weren't anywhere near Springer's hardware today, were you?
Why, how did you... That... dear, before you get angry...
That's all right, Alice. Do you know anyone who could use a dozen bottles of bubble bath?
Bubble bath?
It's for dogs.
Sam, you bought a grab bag, too?
I'm afraid so, Alice.
But, dear, we don't even have a dog.
Yo-ho, anybody home?
We're in the dining room, Homer.
You certainly have to admire his timing.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, gee whiz, is it dinner time?
By a strange coincidence, yes.
Sit down, Homer. We're one short tonight.
Boy, I'd love to. We aren't eating at our house tonight.
Not at all?
No, ma'am. My mother doesn't feel she should fool around in the kitchen in her new fur coat.
Why doesn't she take it off?
She doesn't dare. As soon as my father gets his hands on it, he's taking it back to the store.
Your arm.
Oh, gee, I almost forgot. It's my grand prize. See?
Good heaven.
Only my parents felt that since it was your sister that painted it, Mrs. Aldrich, you should have the privilege of hanging it.
Harriet painted that?
It looks good upside down, too.
What on earth is it?
Why, it's fish, dear. In a bowl.
Sure. I looked them up in the fish book. I think they're suckers.
Yes? Homer, you brought it to the right place. Alice, get me a hammer.
Sam, what are you going to do to it?
Hang it over the mantelpiece.
Gee whiz.
Where it'll be a lesson to all of us the rest of our lives.
The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone as Henry with Jackie Kelk as Homer, is written by Patricia Jowdery and Del Dinsdale with music by Jack Miller.
The Aldrich Family, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 18th, 1948 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.